Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are many questions that one can ask related to the Holy Spirit for which we have no answer. And this is because some things are just not revealed. Many make the mistake of speculating, inventing various theories in the absence of revelation. But Paul warned in 2 Timothy 2:23, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." This refers to untaught questions. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever." Friend, we must concern ourselves with what is revealed. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God," 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. Now, there are always those who are dissatisfied with the all-sufficient word. They want something special. They want more than what God has provided. They rely on their feelings. They claim some kind of direct operation of the Holy Spirit in some warm, mystical, emotional, strange kind of something. They claim God talks to them directly like he did Moses at the burning bush. They profess to receive latter-day revelations. And they have their quiet time when they open their Bibles, not to learn the message, but to see what the Holy Spirit might say to them through the thoughts provoked from the passage that may have no relationship even to the passage. The work of the Holy Spirit is outlined to us by Jesus himself when he was speaking to his apostles. Now, as we read these words, it is important that we remember that he was speaking to his apostles, and the promises made were applicable to them, not just to anyone. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." John 16:7-15. In John 14 and verse 26, Jesus again to the apostles, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now please take note that the work of the Holy Spirit is related to and connected with the going away of Christ. Christ said it was expedient that he go away, and we might ask, why was it expedient? This passage does not tell us, but other passages do give us an insight into that matter. The disciples were confused about the nature of his kingdom that was soon to come. His kingdom was not of this world, John 18:36. His people were in the world, but not of the world. His kingdom was a spiritual one. And yet the disciples were still looking for an earthly kingdom. And his continued presence would possibly keep this confusion alive in their minds and expectations. Soon Jesus would promise to be with his disciples everywhere, all the time, Matthew 28 and verse 20. Well, in the flesh, this could not be possible. But the Holy Spirit would come and be with them, and he would be with them through the Spirit. In the flesh, Jesus was subject to the persecutions and the hindrances and the restrictions that men could place against him. But the Holy Spirit, being Spirit, could not be so hindered. But it was expedient that Christ go away because of his very mission. He was to be king and priest. He could not be king on earth because the earth is his footstool, while heaven is his throne. Acts 7 and verse 49. Also, he was not of the priestly tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. And he could not be priest here upon this earth, Hebrews 7:14. And so for these reasons, it is expedient that Christ return to heaven. But it was also necessary that deity be with the apostles in doing the work that was assigned to them. And this is where the work of the Holy Spirit comes in. The work of the Holy Spirit was to reprove, which means to convict, to prove, to persuade. And who was the Spirit to reprove? The people of the world. And of what was the Spirit to reprove or convict the people of the world? Three areas are listed. One, of sin, because they believe not on Christ. That's the first one named. Now, Paul wrote in Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ was sent to this earth to save sinners, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. He came to show man that man is in sin and therefore he is doomed. He also showed man that man cannot save himself by himself. Therefore, man is in need of a Savior. God has provided that Savior, and that Savior is Christ. Man must believe on Christ for his salvation. Christ is the only Savior that there is. But soon the Christ was to return to heaven and to rule and reign, and the Holy Spirit would continue this work of reproving, convicting, persuading men of the things that Christ had taught, the things he had said, the things he had done, offering salvation to those that would come to him. But again, the Holy Spirit was to convict the world of righteousness because Jesus was going to the Father, and they would see him no more and be with him no more. Now, righteousness is a great word in the redemption story. Psalm 119, verse 172 tells us, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. In Romans 1, and verse 16 and 17, Paul wrote, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The term righteousness here does not refer to an attribute of God or to his character. We learn of his character even in the Old Testament. We do not have to wait until the gospel account to learn that. But righteousness here refers to God's scheme, God's plan, God's system for making man righteous. It is his plan of justification, and sometimes the word is translated justification. It's the plan of salvation. Christ was soon to leave this earth, and this message had to be proclaimed. It was the work of the Holy Spirit to see that that was done. Furthermore, the Spirit was to reprove or convict the world of judgment because the prince of this world, which is Satan, hath been judged. Dear listening friend, there is a day of judgment coming. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Because reward and punishment is not meted out in its fullness in this life, some conclude that there will be no judgment. The Holy Spirit was to persuade accountable people of the reality of the coming judgment. Satan has already been judged. Satan has already been condemned. There is a place prepared for the devil and his angels, and those who follow the ways of the devil will be as doomed as is Satan. And in doing all of this, Christ said the Holy Spirit would glorify Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. John 16:14. Well, how did and how does the Holy Spirit do this work? Remember, friend, these things were spoken to the apostles. Obviously, the work of the Holy Spirit was to be done through the apostles. The Spirit would teach, would guide, would bring to their remembrance what Christ had taught them. Now, this promise was never given to everyone, not even everyone of the first century, not every Christian of the first century, and certainly not the people living nearly 20 centuries removed from this conversation. It is so evident that the Holy Spirit is not guiding and leading all of those who claim His special direction because they teach differently. They even contradict one another. They do not teach what the apostles taught, and generally are far removed from doing what they did. That the Spirit worked through men is not surprising. We read of this procedure in the Old Testament. Consider the time of Noah, when the thoughts and the imaginations of the hearts of men were evil continually, Genesis 6 and verse 3. God said, "My Spirit shall not always strive with men." How did the Spirit strive with men? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, we read of Noah. And Noah is identified as a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached God's message of warning and the coming flood. In this way, God, through the Holy Spirit, working through Noah, did strive with sinful men. Again in Nehemiah 9 and verse 30, "Yet many years didst thou forbear them, and testifieth against them by thy Spirit in thy prophets, yet would not give ear." Testimony was given to ancient Israel by the Spirit, but it was done by the preaching of the prophets. And in the New Testament, in Acts 7 and verse 51, Stephen accused his hearers of resisting the Holy Spirit, as did your fathers. And how did the fathers resist the Holy Spirit? Acts 7:52 explains, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted?" Friend, the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. Their fathers persecuted the prophets, gave no heed to the message that was preached by the prophets. In so doing, they were resisting the Holy Spirit that worked through the preaching of the prophets. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit operated on the hearts of those who heard the preaching of the apostles, Acts 2 and verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. The message preached was not one that originated with men, not even the apostles, but the Holy Spirit worked through them as they preached the gospel. And we know the Holy Spirit did not come upon others than the apostles, because Acts 1 verse 26 tells us that Matthias was numbered with the apostles, and they, of Acts 2 and verse 1, refers to those with whom Matthias was numbered. Furthermore, in Acts 2 and verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11 apostles. It was the apostles that worked miracles and signs, Acts 2 and verse 43. The doctrine preached was called the apostles' doctrine because they were the ones who did the preaching, Acts 2, 42. The Holy Spirit did not come directly upon that entire multitude, nor upon the 120 that had gathered together previously. He came, as promised, upon the apostles. And we can know it was the work of the Holy Spirit that worked that day because it is explicitly stated that they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Furthermore, at the close of the sermon recorded, the hearers had been convicted of their sins. They had heard the terms of righteousness, and they obviously believed in the judgment to come and their own accountability because they cried out, saying, "What must we do?" If they did not believe these things, they would not have asked such a question. To convict people of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, was the very work that Christ said the Spirit would do. And it was done through the preaching of the Word. It was not a direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the sinner. Neither is there record of such as that anywhere else where salvation is obtained separate and apart from the Word of God. It was not a case of the Holy Spirit and the Word operating in conjunction with each other, but the Holy Spirit operating through the use of the Word. How does the Holy Spirit operate on the sinner? He operates by the use of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. Friend, salvation is not to be enjoyed apart from the Word. James 1 and verse 18 we read, "Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls." Again, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." Notice now, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15, "For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." As the doctor operates on his patient, not directly, but with tools, using means, indirectly, so the Holy Spirit uses the tool, the means, to operate on the heart of the sinner. This means the tool used is the Word of God. As the woodman uses the axe with which to fell the tree, so the Holy Spirit uses the Word to convert the lost. No, the Holy Spirit is not the same as the Word, any more than the woodman is the same as the axe. But by the use of the axe, the woodman fells the tree, and by the use of the Word, the Holy Spirit converts the sinner. The words of the apostles preached are all sufficient. Christ promised they would be guided into all truth, nothing left out. Paul preached the whole counsel of God, Acts 20 and verse 26. Addition or subtraction to that word is prohibited, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Jude 3 tells us the faith is once delivered. That message of salvation was once in inspired men, earthen vessels, but now is embodied in the inspired Word, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Sinners heard what to do to be saved from the Scriptures today as much as if an apostle was standing by his side telling him the same message. Christians learn how to live today a Christian life from the Scriptures as much as if they were personally walking with the apostles. There is no special leading, special guiding, or nudging, or revelations that stem from a literal, personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did His work through the Word of God in the effort of conversion. In time past, the Spirit was sometimes accepted, sometimes rejected, depending on what people did with the Word they heard. We're not told to wait for some strange, mysterious, better felt than told experience or some subjective feeling, some warm and emotional happening, and then attribute that as the working of the Holy Spirit. By and through the Word, the Spirit works in converting men to Christ, and the Spirit works in leading them to heaven. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.